Oh, this is the pod, by the way.
this is the meat of it, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, imagine if this came out after Christmas.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiny Plastic People podcast, the podcast about tiny plastic people. We make them, we play with them, we rotate them 360 degrees on a web store, and we're here to tell you why you think that's great. I am Tom, also known as Respectable Geek, and I'm joined today by...
It's me, Regin. I've got a headache, and also Tom just broke me with that intro. I don't have any internet handles, leave me alone.
I'm JD, and I'm also here.
Yep. And we, as people may already have worked out from our delay there, we are without gods, without masters, without primarchs. None of us are in charge here. Chaos reigns.
The inmates running the asylum today.
Welcome to the animist anarchist commune, motherfuckers.
We did it. This is peak podcast.
Shall we talk about our hobby?
That shared
hobby that we all get involved in. JD, what have you been up to recently?
Well, I've been very slowly painting some Imperial Knights. And I mean one Imperial Knight.
What flavour?
A Knight Valiant is what I've been painting. Ooh. At the moment. Because it got a big harpoon gun, and I like big harpoon gun. I think big harpoon gun is very funny, so I'm using it. In service of our, at the time of recording, we're 2 weeks away from one of our community meetups in Birmingham, and hopefully I'm going to have 2,000 points of knights painted, which is about 6 models, and I'm planning on very slowly working on the Valiant now, but chances are my big burst of energy will come, which is why I've booked the week before off work, so I can just paint all week. But that's all I've really done recently.
I mean, I'm disappointed now I'm not able to make it to the meetup, because I also have a Imperial Knight army which I have almost finished, and I have a Knight Castellan compared to your Knight Valiant.
The Chonk brothers.
Yeah, Chonk brothers. And I'm sure that if I was able to make it, we could have a robot-on-robot fight, which I'm sure would be great fun. I've got a Castellan, 2 of the Questorus Knights, and 4 Armagers. I've also got Canis Rex, so that's lower down the painting queue at the moment. But I reckon I could end up with I could get a 2,000-point army going there, and we could just have knights beat each other up, throw each other through buildings. Is that a thing they can do? It should be a thing they can do.
It should be a thing they can do, but it isn't.
Not even with your harpoon.
What would be cool? Yeah, he should be able to harpoon you through the building and drag you through the building.
It would be awesome if that was actually...
Put that rule in.
There used to be a stratagem on Imperial Knights where if you had one of the fists, the Thunderstrike gauntlets... I think with that, you could pick something up and throw it at another unit.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar, but in 10th, that is not a thing. It's just the harpoon just does 12 mortal wounds on a critical wound. That's what it does.
Sadness. Well, if you're listening, Games Workshop, which we know you are, we know this is your favourite podcast, please, when you do the Imperial Knight Codex, just give us one of the sub-factions, or what they call the detachments, which is just all about stupid things knights can do. All the other sub-factions, all the other detachments can have actual sensible things and be like, you know, here's your really fast-moving one, here's your one that's based around armagers, but we want one which is, what is the most stupid and dramatic thing that a knight can do? Please give it to us. Your harpoons drag things through buildings. You pick things up and throw them at them. I'm sure there's
Can I make a suggestion? For the pick things up and throw them stratagem, can they call it the fun to strike gauntlet?
Yeah. Thanks.
It's here all week.
That's why they couldn't get anyone to be in charge of this podcast. They're fed up of our shit.
What about you, Ridgen? What have you been working on?
Oh, man. Well, since Rum Row was cancelled, I accidentally name-dropped the meetup, sorry.
And you said you said it was cancelled.
Bleep it out. Bleep it out if we didn't have the... I mean, it's cancelled for me because I couldn't rebook the dates. So I'm going to the location anyway at the original date because I had sweet discount train tickets that I'm not going to cancel because I won't get them again. But I haven't really done any actual physical hobbying because I've just been dealing with lovely work, stressful projects at work for what seems like forever. But my sole interaction with hobby has been reading the takes from Hobby Universe online. And let me tell you, that's not as much fun on its own in isolation without any like zen, dopamine, painting, mindfulness occurring at the same time. It's quite demoralizing.
Takes need to be filtered through a...
And that's coming from me, an internet goblin.
For someone who actively chooses to have the Twitch chat open.
I look into the abyss. It's true.
And it looks into you and says... What does it say? What does the abyss say to you?
It says, hi, Daddy.
Do you want some hot takes, Daddy?
I don't know. It says, oh, it's that guy. It's that pog guy. Oh, chat, raise your dongers. You know, that's what it says. That sort of thing. Anyway, that's me. I'm hoping to return to hobby as soon as this goddamn project gets cleared off my desk at work. Because I have a huge painting queue and a bunch of half-finished things. So I have to get back to cultists, obviously. I have to get back to finishing some demonettes so I can finally play Warcry with people. And I think I have some... Oh yeah, I've got a half-finished Hellbrute that I need to finish. So, quite the pile. That's it from me.
I can't remember when I was last on this podcast, but I suspect that the answer to what have I done since then is not actually much, because I've really fallen off the hobby bandwagon recently. What I have been doing is, and I'm actually starting to get back into hobby, because you know when you get a project which you're like, actually, I want to start doing this, and it's, I'm getting a sense of achievement with this, and I want to finish, follow it through. So what I'm doing at the moment is...
Yes.
I'm making some terrain boards for Necromunda.
Nice.
So,
are they of the city variety, the ash wastes variety?
They are of the Underhive variety. So over last year, so starting about a year ago now, I think, maybe a bit earlier, and running through the new year, we sort of wrapped up in about February, I think. I ran a Necromunda campaign, and I do like Necromunda. But it's a bit of a pain to... It takes a long time to set up because you have your battlefield and you go, right, okay, I've got all of these lovely terrain pieces, all these gantries and more gantries. It's mostly gantries, I'll be honest. There's a bit of Zone Mortalis stuff as well. But I had a whole boxes full of this Necromunda stuff, which was sort of glued in various configurations. And... It's enough to make a nice sort of, I think, sort of 3 foot or 4 foot by 4 foot board, but it takes so long to set it up and to take it down. So if I'm planning to have people around to play a game, I need to start setting the board up an hour ahead of them turning up, and then once we've finished, it's got late, and the board is then sitting around my table for
you got to eat your dinner around the muck pool for the next week.
Yeah, you've got a few days of like, I really can't be bothered to put the because the trouble with terrain is you often, in order to make it actually fit in its boxes, you often need to tessellate it, and it takes a lot of thinking. Right, I know this used to go in this box. How do I put it back in the box in a way that it will actually go back? So my solution is I went to B&Q and got them to cut me a load of MDF tiles of 12 inch by 12 inch. I got some metal wire mesh and staple gunned that to that. And I've now been happily hot gluing all of my terrain onto these boards. So I've got 12 of these Necromunda boards. So they have gantries, they have more gantries. It's still mostly gantries. And but also pipes, and I've incorporated the Ash Wastes hab bunkers in there. So there's a variety of different boards there, and they're all set up so that they can all sit next to each other and have sensible walkways. Because it takes a bit of thinking. If you haven't ever done this as a project, it's quite interesting to try and fit make it so that they work as individual terrain pieces and can tessellate in any direction. So what you need to do is work out where you want them to be joining the edge of the board. And make sure that's consistent across the boards. So
plenty of measuring then.
Yeah, well, not too much measuring it the end, because what I ended up doing was saying, okay, if it's a walkway, it wants to be touching the edge of the board. So the walkway is flush with the edge of the board. And ideally flush in the middle of the board or along one edge. And if it's not, and once you've started that, because it's really clever the way the terrain's been designed, you have it all. It's all designed to go on a 12x12 board. That if you had enough walkways and laid them flat on the board, it would completely cover the board without any overlap, and without any overlap of the edge, without any overlap of the things. So it all fits nicely. So provided you line it up with that grid system, it's fairly straightforward to make sure it all works, which is really cool. So what I've now got is 12 of these tiles. I figure that a single Necromunda game would want to use 9 of them at once. And I'm now starting to start the process of painting them. And I've decided I'm not stupid enough to try and paint all 12 of them at once. I'm going to do them one at a time. And yeah, I'm quite looking forward to this, because what I'm also trying to do is make them feel lived in, because the Underhive, people live there. So I'm going to be putting a whole load of, like, one of the places is going to be a tavern. I'm going to try and put a whole load of shelters up as well. And it's just a fun little project, so. Well, I say little project. It's quite
nice.
Quite a lot going on there. So
I do like the some of the Necromunda scenery. Like I think I picked it up, but I need to like paint it. The Underhive Market. I say as I have to look at my pile of boxes over here. Yeah, the Underhive Market. That's a cool set.
Yeah, that's actually the first board tile I'm making is my Underhive Market tile.
Nice.
Because
they're such good little pieces. It's just like a little tiny doll's house for wargamers. I love it.
I mean, this entire project is doll's house for wargamers, actually, because with my market, what I've done, because as I mentioned, I've got a metal mesh on the floor of each of the tiles, and so I put magnets on the base of all the market pieces.
Nice.
So
go wherever.
Yeah, so I can move them around and magnetize them on, and I'm now. The trouble with all of this is you sort of look and go, oh, what else can I magnetise? Oh, I could get some magnetic sheet, and I could put that in the base of my hab blocks, and have, so my plan is to have one of the hab blocks be a medical centre. So, and I've got those old 40k terrain pieces which have medical equipment on them. And so I can magnetize those, and move them around inside of the hab block.
This sounds incredible. Ultimate scatter.
Yeah. But the idea is very much because I've also measured all of these, so they fit in the cupboard I've got for the storage.
Mm.
So when I want to put the board away, I just need to pick them up, put them in the cupboard, put another tile on top of them, and it's easy.
Tom, it sounds like you're living the terrain dream, I have to say. It's a world I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, ask me again in 6 months when I still haven't finished painting them and they're just lurking in a cupboard.
Okay. Terrain Heaven or Terrain Hell in 6 months' time, everybody.
Terrain Purgatory. But it's really nice of a project because... And also, I've got vague plans. I'd like to have a few more tiles. I mean, you asked about whether I had ash wastes as part of it, and I would quite like to have some ash wastes tiles, so more open ones, probably a few pipes and being more sandy, because if I had a few of those, I could combine them with these ones and have, you know, an ash wastes game around a one of these central tiles, or so being much more open. So I might yet make some of those, but I don't feel I'll be doing much more, needing much more terrain after that, because for 40k I've got my I've got a ruined city in a box, so that covers that, and these Necromunda tiles will also be able to stand as a sort of 12 inch by 12 inch terrain piece for 40k, of course. So I'll hopefully be able to resist the next shiny thing that comes along, or at least go, okay, how can I make this into a Necromunda tile? And limit it that way, so...
Nice. Yeah. Cool. Very cool. Yeah.
And then if we ever end up doing a 40k Inc. 28 event again, I can load it all into a car and bring it along for that.
What a hero.
I wish I had any desire ever to do terrain, because... People always seem to have so much fun doing terrain. And I can't unlock the fun of terrain.
I think the last time I had a hobby slump, I think I did some terrain to like get back into like slapping the brush around. I think I painted those pipes from the 9th edition command. No, whatever it is. That box with the scenery.
Yeah, fun. Yeah.
So, yeah, a little painting entree.
I do actually need to paint some AOS terrain.
It is the bits and pieces of terrain that I've done. It is nice to just like, you know, you just slap the paint on and do a bit of magic dry brushing and throw some washes over it. It's great, especially for like 40k, because you just make it look dirty and horrible if you want to, and you can't really go too far with making things look dirty and horrible in 40k. So.
Yeah, I mean, the main way I'm painting this is spraying it silver, lightly spraying it gold, then spraying it silver again. So that's giving a quite nice pattern to the metal bits, and then picking a few bits out of details. And you don't need to paint everything. It's just it's just making it look good enough. And I think that's the thing that as wargamers, it's good for us to remember. A lot of things were actually good enough is good enough. It does what it says on the tin.
I agree. I think if you're painting a lot of terrain, that's really the only way to do it. And it's definitely got to be beneficial for your like just regular miniature painting after that, to get your mind in the like, I'm gonna get the, especially if you've got a lot of stuff to do, you know, you just get the main, you get in the main scheme done, the main. Just look and feel that's sorted, and then you just pick out the important bits. And I'm sure terrain, like if you do a lot of terrain, you get a good eye for like picking out, oh, what are the bits that I just need to like put the extra detail onto to bring this to life.
Yeah, and because I went to the our community actually of week or so ago, saying the colours I was picking out just weren't working for me, and I was like, how can I make this work? And the advice I got was basically, right, make it a less bright red, pick a few bits out of gold, and weather it and dry brush a bit. And it's like, actually, yeah, that really works. And now I'm looking at it. I haven't posted any pictures anywhere yet, so I need to finish the tile first. But I've got a nice sort of red and gold scheme for the main terrain bits. And then I'm going to do things like the Underhive Market in much more different and brighter colours, because... I mean, it's one of the really interesting... I mean, it's getting a bit more philosophical, but again, Necromunda is really interesting in terms of the different ways people take it. Some people will take it really grim and grimy. And I want to do some of that, but I also want to make it feel that people are living there. So, and people like colour.
Yeah. So you think there's got to be someone, even in the grim darkness of the far future, who's looking around the Underhive market when it's all like brown tarps that are covered in radioactive waste and going, you know what? If I had a red tarpaulin on my shack selling, I don't know, human gruel paste, that might stand out a bit. People might come. There's got to be at least one guy in the year 40,000 and whatever who's thinking like that in his Underhive market slum marketplace.
Yeah, or people going, oh yeah, I've got this absolutely lovely lurid orange sheet which has been passed down through generations of my family to use as a cover for my market stall.
Or like, they want to open a market stall in the future, but they don't have any money because they're in the Underhive and they're poor, and the only thing available is like your old aunt's like tablecloth, and it's, you know, just some chintzy pattern mess. So they just got to use that. So I agree, Tom. I think there would be almost certainly, if capitalism has taught me anything, some people having nicely coloured market stalls in Necromunda.
It's fine. We can redress. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll
this
fix
is
it
what
most.
Being a part of an anarchist commune is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll steer this podcast back on course.
Yeah, we'll fix it. Well, I say we'll fix it in post. The editor will fix it in post. Whoever's listening here and is cursing us.
Some poor thankless
bastard.
They're
allowed in the commune.
Yeah. Is it true? Hi, Drew. Sorry.
Let's open the old channel.
Yeah.
We did have a... Okay, yeah, so Tom.
Yep.
Go with your suggestion.
Yeah, so what I was wanting to think... So, when this podcast was first being organised...
Which was yesterday.
Well, it was a few weeks ago, because a few weeks ago we were saying, oh, we'll be recording this around the time of Halloween. So we'd have a spooky podcast.
Yeah, it's true.
It is not Halloween.
But we were denied, because the last team took forever.
Yeah.
Damn you, last pod crew.
Yeah, so...
Now we're in the no man's land. We can't do festive. We can't do spooky. It's past bonfire night. We're ruined.
I mean, we probably could do festive because this podcast, listener, I'm guessing this is probably early December? Is it early December? You can't answer me.
Oh, imagine if this came out after Christmas.
Yeah, I mean...
That's the problem. We can't do a festive segment in case we come out after Christmas.
So whenever you're listening to...
We're high and dry.
Whenever you're listening to this, listener, this will be wrong. Because the thing I suggested to we talk about is the spooky topic of the hobby project that haunts you. Now, I haven't defined what I mean by haunts you. What I was thinking was... That project is always in the back of your mind as, oh, I really should do that. And it's always like, oh, could I do that? And you never quite get to it. It's not one that's actually on the table, but you're like, oh, that'd be really nice if I could do that. And it's haunting you. And you think, that would be really cool if I did that. So my example of this was my Demons of Chaos army. I have been haunted by this idea for a Demons of Chaos army for a while now. I even have some models for it, which I've got in the attic, like my portrait Dorian Gray, lurking there. I have some demonettes and some bloodletters. And the idea for this Demons of Chaos army is to theme each god around a different season. So I was going to have Khorne in winter, because blood looks really good on snow. I was going to have Slaanesh in spring, so you've got lots of flowers around. I was going to have Tzeentch in summer, and lots of desert, cracked desert bases, and hot and warm. And Nurgle was going to get autumn, because, you know, rot and decay and changing seasons. And it was all going to be nicely themed. And so it's a project which I'm like, yeah, that's... I'm really quite pleased with that as an idea, and I do like the Demons of Chaos range. I do like what they come out with. And I'm not sure if I'm ever going to get to it. But it's always there in the back of my mind, as I say, haunting me. So that's my contribution of a ghost project which is lurking. Do either of you have anything like that?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to have anything as good as that, Tom, because that's a disgustingly good, you know, concept for an army. But I guess the hobby project that currently haunts me is I have a... obviously, I'm doing an Emperor's Children 40k army. And I, ages and ages and ages ago, I bought a Lord Discordant. And I was like, I'm going to paint this guy, and he's going to be the, like, he's going to be the head of the army, blah, blah, blah. Great. So obviously the general concept for my Emperor's Children army is that they're, like, they're a bit delusional, and they still think they're, like, really, really good at, like, doing everything. So all of their armors are all nicely painted. They're not all, like, covered in gore. And they're not covered in chains too much. They're just, everything's just nicely, crisply painted. They're ready to turn out on the battlefield for their, you know, in their mind, their display of martial prowess, which probably for any onlookers is just like a horrible, noisy frenzy. So I got the Lord Discordant, and I assemble him all, and I put him in his sub-assemblies to paint. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have him on like a really cool... like golden, like I can't remember the name of the thing that he even rides. Anyway, his big friendly dog that he rides. Do it all shiny and gold and fancy, and he can have some nice, I don't know, whatever, pinky purpley robes and whatever he's got. And then I just, after I primed it, I just saw the number of subcomponents that I had put together, and I just started losing the will to live. And I just in my brain I went, oh, well, yeah, I think before I start that, actually, what I'm going to do is I'll do this. These cultists look easy. I'll do a few of them, and I would finish them. And I'd look back at that pile of, like, sub-assemblies, and I'd be like, yeah, I really ought to do these guys next. And so I'm currently haunted from the hobby shelf pile of shame by an unassembled Lord Discordant who I really want to paint, but have now... just too, I don't even know, it just seems like such a huge mountain to even get to him that I fear he may stay on the shelf for a very long time. And he taunts me at night. I can hear him from the other room when I'm trying to sleep. That's my haunting of me.
Cool. That's, yeah, it's always when you've got a particular model, you're like, I want to paint this, but I also don't want to paint this.
Yeah, it's definitely a case of that. It's definitely a case of, like, my eyes definitely bigger than my belly in this case, for sure. And now it's just, like, the act of repeatedly putting it off so many times has just left me, you know, with this sort of semi-insurmountable task in my mind. A tale as old as time.
Yep, so... so many projects, so little time, so many things have...
True.
I really want to finish that. But do I really want to finish that? Is that what I want to do now? We should have themed this around one of us having the Ghost of Hobby past, one of us having the Ghost of Hobby present, and Ghost of Hobby future. So
that's true, but that'd be for the Christmas. We're Christmas theming it now. We're crossing the streams.
We should have done that, because then we'd have a perfect... you know, whatever time someone listens to this, it'd work.
That's true. Oh. We should go back and have a strong talking to ourselves.
JD, save us. What are you talking about? What's your hobby haunting?
Zinch, Slaves to Darkness, I think. That's my big one. I've got about 2,000 points, probably more, of Slaanesh Alliance Slaves to Darkness for AOS. And I thought, when the new Slaves to Darkness stuff came out, wouldn't it be a good idea to do some Zinch allied kit, Slaves to Darkness. Started doing them, and I just can't really be asked. And I always think, and the problem is that I've got bits of like models from that, you know, set of stuff, like on my desk or like on my chest of drawers, so that, and they stand there mocking me. And
just always in your eye line.
Yeah, but realistically, I know that I'm never going to get to them because I've got way too many other things, especially AOS projects, that I'd sooner be doing than painting essentially the same army again, just with slightly fancier models, and with a different colour scheme. But I just can't be bothered to do it because I was going to do it with all like, so I was going to use a lot of contrast over metallics, so it was going to be this sort of bluey green sort of colour shifting armour.
Nice.
And you know, all that sort of stuff. And for the bases, I was going to use green stuff to like make flames, so that they're like walking in the wake of Zeench's firestorm as they march across the realms. But yeah, realistically, I'm never going to do it, and I'm holding on to it in case I ever do decide to do it. But it's taking up a lot of space now, and it's sad times to be haunted by your own hubris.
I feel now you've suggested it, flames on the Zeench bases are the thing I'd have to do for my demon army.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't not do it.
Yeah. You could do them all multicolour flames as well if it's Zeench.
Well, yeah, they were going to be all like pink, like a variation between pink and blue flames.
Hell yeah.
I'm quite amused that we're all three of us are haunted by a chaos army.
I mean, it's very on brand, I suppose. For if you're going to be haunted by something,
undead, death,
it'd be.
There's an entire Grand Alliance for that. And
look, I only play 40k. There's no undead army. In
40K. Necrons.
Don't look at me. Thousand
Sons.
Legion of the Damned.
Oh, God damn it!
Where are my Legion of the Damned Games
I'm
Workshop?
Such a fake fan. That's true.
Where are they? Not my prediction. I didn't bring it in the prediction section, but my...
Yeah, we're past that. You can't predict
I'm not predicting it, but I want them. Give me my Legion of the Damned, damn it.
Yeah, they are a very cool Legion. Whatever happened to them? They were so cool when they came out in second. Everybody was like, wow, these guys are cool. They got their special character. Everyone bought some. No one could do the paint job because good luck when you're like 13... in the 90s, and you've got the old style paint, and you try to do flames. It's not happening. But yeah.
So, my conspiracy theory is they are on the slate to be released at some point. Because if you look in the Space Marine Codex...
Kill Team.
From... Oh, that's a good bet. Legion of the Damned Kill Team. That'd be fantastic. Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry, we're straying back into prediction territory.
But
sorry.
If you look in the... I think the 9th edition Space Marine Codex, it specifically bans you from choosing Grey Knights as a chapter name and Legion of the Damned.
Well, that's because you don't own the trademarks on those names, Tom. You can't be turning up at a tournament.
Bring back Legion of the Damned Games Workshop, please.
True. Agree. And then let them haunt us.
Yeah. We have successfully brought them back in.
Yeah, we can come back next year and see if we're being haunted by the Legion of the Damned.
Cool. Well, we have successfully navigated this haunting.
We did it.
What's our next topic?
There was like the third topic was measured takes on the Warhammer.com revamp, and I don't know if anyone actually has any. I actually my only take is that I don't care.
That's largely where I am with. I couldn't give a shit.
I just don't care. Yeah. Like, I'm annoyed that it's like doing some weird thing now where it's like you've got to be in a 13 minute queue at 8:30 on a Saturday night to look in the shop. Whatever. But like, just the people it cost how much? It's a perfectly navigable website. And you know what? I like the fact that it looks like the McDonald's menu. The McDonald's menu, when it's 1:30 on a Thursday morning, it's so easy to fucking browse the McDonald's menu on that big screen and pick out what you want. It's fine.
Muck Warhammer.
Exactly. I'll have the Muck Stormbolter, please.
Muck Death. That was a Warhammer campaign back in the day. Muck Death.
Oh, please tell me it was like a like they were doing a thing on like Muck Death.
I assume so. With it. This was.
I'd assume it was that before it was a reference to McDonald's.
I mean, who knows? You know what, I mean, though? Yeah, Warhammer Macbeth.
A Warhammer McDonald's tie-up would be
the tragedy of Macbeth. Macbeth was one of the many kings of Albion.
What is this? A fable crossover?
Albion in the Warhammer world. The Misty Isle. Oh. So I'm looking at the Warhammer wiki. After being celebrated as a hero after a great victory against an army of rebels and Norskans, Macbeth met three witches who predicted that he would become Thane of Cawdor and then King of Albion.
Wow.
Then later on in this same article, trivia, Macbeth is likely based off of the character of Macbeth. Likely.
Maybe because it'd be libelous to say that it definitely is.
Jervis Johnson coming to the Monday morning meeting having to find out the estate of William Shakespeare is now coming for Games Workshop.
Yeah, this appeared in White Dwarf number 76, apparently.
Good for them. That's what I say. And then good for them, especially reading it back, because now they've used a lot of those Shakespearean terms and names for things in future games. So it gets even better when you find out that guy's going to become the head of a Necromunda gang. Great. Yeah.
Weren't we supposed to be talking about the website?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry, we can come back to the website.
Yeah, I mean,
JD.
My take on the website, though, is very much similar to YouTube because the first I saw of it was people on various Discord channel servers saying, wow, it's utterly broken and unusable.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
I went onto it a day later, so it might have been broken on the first day. That might be true. But I was like, it's changed, it's different. I'm not seeing the it's broken and unusable. There are things which don't work as well as they could do. The filters, I'll give you that. But someone said, oh, you can't find it. It's like, well, I know if I know which army something's in, I can find it. And I really dislike the, oh, this is not how I would want it to be, therefore it's utterly broken sort of take you get on things. And everywhere in the hobby sphere.
That's where I landed with it. Just the people complaining, saying, oh, I can't find anything. I'm like, you guys are the sort of people who already know exactly what you want. You just go on the previews, you search for the thing you want, and you order it. Or you don't, you just search for it, and then you say how bad that miniature was, and you hated it. When a James Webb, you're going out of business.
Yeah, and I think it was just, I very much felt that the I can't find it was, I can't find it in this particular way, which I know already won't work. Because someone like, oh, I can't find the store. It's like, but if I click this menu, which exists on every single website, the sort of burger bar menu that you have.
Yep.
If you click on that, the store is right there. Exactly where I expected it to be.
It's right there, yeah.
And so I think, to be fair to the people complaining, there are things which could be improved. So I think it's right to say that there could be better filters and more reliability of search sometimes. I think isn't always working.
Yep.
I think also the lack of the 360 degree spinnies, that not being there at first was annoying. Though I think they're back now.
Some fashion, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to be honest, the 360 spinnies are cool, but I don't think they were like make or break. You know, if the GW said, we're taking the 360 spinnies away, they're too much hassle.
I would be annoyed by that because I find it very useful when I'm painting a model. Like if I can't quite tell what a material is or should be, then
okay.
I find it useful for looking at that and going, all right, well, they've done it as leather. Okay, well, I can do something adjacent to that or whatever.
That's a good point, James.
That's mostly what I use the 360 views for, is like yeah, things like that. But they came back. It's fine. I mean, it's not. Yeah. I don't like that we live in a you know a future where everything just gets put out before it's ready. Presumably because of responsibilities to shareholders or whatever. But also, we do live in that world. I think that it's not particularly egregious that this is the case. You know what I mean? And I think it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Mostly, don't really care. I just don't really care about it.
That was it. I think I reached my limit when I saw someone complain that when they go to the website, the first thing they see is a man in a grey sweatshirt. And I've seen this image. This is indeed a man in a grey sweatshirt inside what appears to be a Warhammer store playing Warhammer. So I'm not really sure.
can't make people think there's people playing the game.
I don't know what they wanted. Like, and that was, I think that was the point at which I gave up. But yeah.
Yeah.
Website fine. Sure, rocky launch. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. I don't care if it costs £6 million. I don't care if it costs £10 million. I don't care if it costs £100 million. Who gives a shit, James?
And to be honest, because this is another part of the why the arguments against the web store annoy me a little bit, is a lot of people who are easily confused and not invested in Warhammer, but or rather not looking to get invested in Warhammer. So people who are interested in getting involved in Warhammer would go to the store and get the "What's Warhammer? Here's what's new." But the person, the relative who doesn't want to do that, doesn't know that, they might well just stick it into Google or Amazon, and they will buy your Warhammer present from there. So they'll never go anywhere near the web store anyway. So
well, like most people who are buying stuff as gifts will buy it in a store, or they'll. I mean, admittedly, wish list functionality isn't in yet, as far as I'm aware. But previously, they'd buy it off the gift list, or just go into a shop, and that's, you know, I don't think that's really going to change. So, it's, I don't know. I don't know how much of a problem it really is.
Dean,
we haven't got an email address. I tell you,
We totally have an email address.
I'm not an expert. Shh! Don't tell them that. They'll write in. I guess there is one thing, but I don't know enough about it to make any kind of critique or anything else. Would be accessibility options for the website if you have those needs.
Actually, because I know from my days running forums. On Warhammer forums back in the noughties, that white text on black is not great for accessibility. Is my recollection from there?
Yeah.
And what have they gone with?
Oh yeah, black text on white or white text on black? Yep. TV. I think I would just say though that I don't think that's going to be an issue. That's like. only applies to GW.
No, I mean,
you know, that's a wider issue. But something I observed, having waited patiently 15 minutes to get into this goddamn website, this is what I've observed. Yeah.
And I mean, so the thing which definitely does not work for accessibility on the website is the strange illuminated letters they have in the item descriptions. Because every item description has the first letter illuminated in the old medieval style. It's like, why? Who did this? That is not accessible. But equally, I would be very, very unsurprised if the old website was utterly unaccessible from a, for example, a screen reader perspective, because I suspect it was old enough that sort of functionality was not built in at all. And if Games Workshop is doing this properly, which I hope they are, the new website will probably be a lot better, but under the hood, in terms of accessibility and being able to adapt to people using screen readers, people using text-to-voice, which might be the same thing. It's a various and scrolling around. I don't know. I do not have these accessibility needs myself, but I know it's a thing that people, if people are doing web design well, that's a thing they'll hopefully take account of. And I would hope that some part of that project did include a budget for that. So,
what is your greatest, like, most ambitious hobby goal that you've got or had or achieved or whatever? So, for example, my current one, I think it probably is the most ambitious I've ever been with hobby, is that I want to have a 5,000 point fully painted Stormcast army. And me and a mate are planning on playing a 5,000 point game of Age of Sigmar with Stormcast and Nighthaunt. And it, people may say that it's madness, and they're probably right, but it's the culmination of like 2 or 3 years now of like narrative campaigns that we've been playing with those two armies. And yeah, very keen to do it. And we are like, we're building a, you know, a custom battle pack for it and coming up with some narrative stuff and building up custom terrain pieces for it. Yeah, it's going to be great. And maybe I'll write something about it for the website or something. But that's currently, yeah, my big sort of ambitious, this is insane, but I'm going to do it thing. So I was wondering if you guys had anything similar.
First of all, JD, that sounds incredible. I applaud your ambitious hobby goal. It sounds great. I think I have more of the everyman problem. My most ambitious hobby goal is unfortunately for me, is just to finish like an army to any kind of like reasonable size, because I am afflicted with magpie eye and I paint very slowly. I think I have about, I only have about 1500 points of like Emperor's Children painted. So my most ambitious hobby goal is literally to get like 2,000 or 2,500 or maybe 3,000 points of Emperor's Children painted.
That's a lot of cultists.
And obviously, because I'm an idiot, I keep paint. Yep, I was going to say, I keep painting cultists. So I'm like, great, I'll paint six units of full size cultists and I'll put them down. I'm like, great, that's like 300 points, you moron. You've accomplished. You painted 200 models. You can't even make a 1,000 point army out of them. So that is my hobby goal, is to just get like a, you know, a decent, not a big army, just a decent size army finish. I'll be happy with that. I'm very grounded, you know.
Fantastic.
Tom.
Yeah, I think in terms of ambitious hobby goals, which I still think I might actually achieve, I think it circles back to the start of the podcast, actually, and my Necromunda board. Because I think it's a very ambitious thing to say, my goal is to have a fully painted 12 tiles worth of Necromunda board. I think that's achievable. I think it's a thing that I've got the drive to do. It's all glued in place now. I just need to paint it. And the ambition on top of that is to run a campaign using it. So yes. What I'm planning to do for this campaign will be to have territories that each player, the players can fight over. And each territory will be based around one of these 12 tiles. So that'll be the central tile. And have a particular layout of the other tiles around it. So each of them is unique. Because once you've got these 12 tiles, which can all be orientated any direction, any connection to each other, there'll be, you know, there's many hundreds of combinations of tiles I can have, and basically have, and the central part of the tile will be to of the campaign will be right. This is what the territory around the market looks like. Whenever you have a game in that market, that's the map. Mm. And what I'm kind of wanting to do is a map based campaign where you gain reputation in each different territory, and that cascades to neighbouring territories. So if you have a big bust up in one fight in one location and get a lot of reputation from that, that all, can also give you control of neighbouring territory. So there's a lot of fun, ambitious plans I have for this. And so it wouldn't be following the structure of a campaign from the Necromunda rules so much, but it would be taking a lot of inspiration from them, basically picking and choosing. So a lot of the ambition is sitting down with my big pile of Necromunda books and going, right, what do I want this campaign to be? What do I want to include in it? And then actually running it and writing a campaign pack for it and putting that to players and hopefully having that going. And it's a very much a thing that... So with the campaign which we've run previously, I very much felt that we got a lot of keen and ambition for it. So we sort of jumped right in. And that was good for your first campaign, but also I felt I wanted a bit more time to plan and go, right, what are we doing with this? And now that I've done a campaign, I know what feels like it works, I feel much more able to do that. So I think, so my ambitious hobby goal, which is achievable, I'm putting that disclaimer on there, is to run a Necromunda campaign using my tiles I've built for it. My big ambitious hobby goal, which I don't think I will ever achieve, is a Warhound Titan.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
I approve of both these goals, Tom. I can't wait to see the terrain. It's such a cool idea. Like, especially having the little magnets, so you can just put the scatter terrain in wherever. Super cool.
Yep.
Super cool. Hey, and if you achieve both, your Warhound Titan can come and visit your Underhive Swamp.
Yeah, what are the rules for a Warhound Titan Necromunda? Tell us, Games Workshop.
And just have exactly. It be at like an exhibition at the Necromunda World's Fair and everyone fights around it.
Yes! Oh my god, like a World's Fair in Necromunda would be such an amazing scene. Incredible. This is copyright this podcast, GW, you can't have that idea.
Not allowed to have that as your next campaign book theme.
Especially as you've got to wonder, what went wrong with the World's Fair planning that it ended up in the Underhive and not in the Upper Hive?
I mean, maybe it started off in the Upper Hive and it just sank.
The Titan was so heavy that the flock forgotten one.
Yeah, they just left it there. They were like, just leave it. It's too much effort to get it out. Got loads of them. We'll never run out of Warhound Titans, they said. Has anyone got any last minute extra shout outs they want to make, I suppose? Seems to be the thing people usually do at the end of one of these things.
No.
I mean, I think we should add the disclaimer that this podcast was recorded at a very particular point in time, as you might have guessed. We have...
Several of us are in mental distress.
Yeah, we have very much dated this podcast to a particular point in time. The Games Workshop web store has just been revamped. There's so many things that we are talking about that if you are listening to this podcast even 2 months late, it probably makes even less sense than it did when we were talking about it.
So you say that this entire exercise has been futile.
Hey. All artistic expression is never futile, no matter the guise it takes, everybody. Okay.
And
this is a very valid podcast.
And on that final note, we have been some of the Tiny Plastic People. Our website is tinyplasticpeople.com. Despite earlier mentions, you can email us. So I can't... Oh, there we go. Yes, email us at thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. You can also find us individually on various places if you want to. We are only part of the collective. And having heard our takes, if you want to find us, I can be found on Instagram as Respectable Geek. I haven't posted any of their FAs, but I might actually post some pictures of this terrain once it's done. Anyone else got any social media?
Sure. It's me, your boy Rouge. If you made it this far in the podcast, well done. I'm on social media, but I think realistically, you can find me laughing at all the people who are upset by Rogal Dawn's Joy Toy model haircut.
Oh!
Thanks.
We didn't complain about, well, we need to wear the Joy Toy model.
Let's save it for the next one.
I just did it. That was it. That's the only thing. If you're upset by his haircut, next pod. The next pod is the Primark toy line haircut review podcast.
Well, I'm glad we did. I'm on Instagram as jd.paints. I don't do Twitter anymore.
Yeah, it could have been worse, right? Like the GW website change could have just been like the X update. So consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, final thought to anyone complaining about the Games Workshop website. Be glad it's not Twitter.
Yeah, be glad Elon never discovered or doesn't appear to know what Games Workshop is. Can you imagine?
I'm not convinced he doesn't know what it is.
Oh God, if he does, please keep it to himself. I don't want to find out if he tweets that he's like favorite army's Emperor's children. It's over for me. I will not recover from that. No. It's Ultramarines, isn't it? That's okay. If it's Ultramarines, it's okay.
He called his baby Techno.
Techno
Mechanicus.
Aha, Elon Musk's an AdMech fan. He should have called the baby Underhive World's Fair.
That's your podcast title. Let's wrap this up.
Oh, so sorry. Called Techno Mechanicus, nicknamed Tau. And on that note, thank you for listening.
Oh, I might have been a Tau fan.
Bye, everyone.
See ya. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Mwah.
Jesus Christ.